Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. And this is the place where we believe that every single couple out there has the chance to live a long, happy life together and enjoy being married. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Bessa Shio. And at Live Your Best Marriage, we believe that every marriage has a chance to be awesome and also to be fulfilling.
And we are super excited because this is our first video podcast. So now you guys have faces to go along with the voices. So we're just super happy about that. And you can always reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio.
Yep. And of course, you can like us on Facebook,
which is Facebook.com/ Live Your Best Marriage.
And you can always go back to the place where it all began, which is liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog.
Oh, yeah.
So today we wanted to talk to you guys about something really super exciting.
Which is?
Forgiveness.
Wow, I'm looking forward for that.
Obviously, because yes. It's just so awesome. So have you ever noticed how difficult it is to just move beyond something hurtful that someone says?
No, not for me.
Well, especially if it's the person you're married to.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard. It's definitely not an easy thing to just say, okay, well, I'm gonna let it go. I forgive you. So some of us might have a hard time moving past that, and yes, we hold a grudge, or some of us like to retaliate. And I know for me personally, the retaliation feels justified.
Because you feel like...
I feel like I have a reason.
A reason to go.
Yeah, of course. But unfortunately, even if it's a retaliation, mm-hmm, it still does not solve your problem.
Yeah, it does not solve your problem. And sometimes, I don't know if it's me or you, but somebody also likes to use giving somebody a cold shoulder.
Oh, silent treatment. Yeah. I'm the queen of silent treatment. I should not be proud. I'm not proud of it, but...
You sound like you are.
I'm not. I'm totally not proud of that, but it's a huge, huge problem that we have. And just to let you know, we've been married for 13 years and we have 4 children. So we are definitely real people with real problems, just like anybody else. And so when he does say something that makes me upset, my first reaction is silent treatment. I just shut off. I don't feel like talking. Just totally not in the mood to talk.
Yes.
So.
And that is not a good thing, because sometimes you just don't know what to do to fix a situation. Or sometimes you just, you don't even know if you did something wrong. So from my side of the story, it always feels like, what did I do wrong? And how can I even fix it if I don't even know what I did wrong?
So that's, I guess that can also be seen as stonewalling.
Yes.
Which is a really, really terrible thing, because it makes your spouse, yeah, just like you said, it makes your spouse wonder, okay, did I do something? Did I say something?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes.
And how are we going to fix this?
How are we going to fix it? And actually, Dr. Gottman, the guy who actually can predict divorces with more than 90% accuracy, he talked about, was stonewalling one of the ways that he can use to predict?
I think so. I think stonewalling is actually one of the 4 horsemen.
Okay. So which are the other horsemen?
So I know there's criticism, contempt. Contempt is the worst. Stonewalling and defensiveness.
So what's contempt?
I think. So contempt means that one person feels as though they are above the other. They're superior.
Yes.
Which basically says, I'm always right, you're wrong.
You're always wrong.
So really, I think contempt gets to the point where the one spouse is looking down upon
the other one.
The other. So.
Which we don't like that.
No, and it starts
out... So both of them should be equal, right?
Of course. And I think contempt, as he explains it, usually starts out as criticism.
Okay.
So criticism I don't think any of us are motivated by criticism at all.
No.
It's okay to complain.
Yes.
It's totally fine to just approach your spouse and say, hey, can you do this, this, and this? Or, you know, I would really like it better if you would change, if you would stop doing this and start doing that. But
if you became a better spouse,
if
you became a better version of what I want you to be.
No, that's criticism, because that attacks the person.
Okay.
It doesn't attack the problem. But a complaint is simply that. You're just bringing up the issue. You're not attaching it in any way.
So basically the issue and the person are separate. So you're just dealing with the issue, like this is what happened, but the person is still intact.
Right. So one of my favorite examples to show the difference between criticism and a complaint is, let's say one of you leaves a wet towel on the bathroom floor.
Okay.
To complain about it, I should just say, you know, I would really, really like it better if you would just put that in the hamper or hang it up or do something, but please don't just throw it on the floor.
So you are basically saying what you would love.
I'm just saying it bugs me.
Okay.
But if I criticize you, I attack you personally, and I start saying things like, why do you do that? You're such a slob. Then I'm complaining about the towel on the floor, but okay, I'm also attacking you as a person.
There's an issue here. There's the person. I can talk about the issue,
mm-hmm,
and leave the person intact.
Right.
Or I can mix the issue and the person, make them one thing, and not only talk about the issue, but at the same time say that the person is defective.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So going back to forgiveness, I think obviously it makes it much, much harder to forgive when you're constantly being attacked or if you're being criticized.
Yes.
So
and sometimes you also don't want to be the doormat who is always being attacked or being criticized or whatever, and you are always quote unquote forgiving.
Right. So here is the huge, huge issue. One person might be feeling superior.
Yes.
As they attack the other.
Yes.
But then the one who refuses to forgive is also in a way saying, I'm superior. I'm better than you. I'm always right. I am not going to accept any fault in any of this.
I'm not willing to forgive, also I'm saying I'm like superior.
Yeah, I mean, I think that also can
I have higher moral grounds, like,
It can be, really, because you're basically saying, I have to get my way, yes. I'm not going to change anything that they're criticizing. I mean, because it gets to a point where you're just like, okay, why are you giving me all these labels? You know, if you're giving me labels like, I'm a slob, I'm lazy, or I'm messy, or whatever, I'm forgetful.
Okay.
It just gets really, really old. So I think contempt can also build up in that form as well.
So do we have a situation where having all this contempt, the stonewalling and all these things, do we have a situation where they actually can be justified? I really had to... I really had to stonewall on this one because...
Well, if you're being verbally attacked, if it's really becoming heated and it gets vicious, I mean, you can say, okay, let's take a timeout. Let's just take a break from this conversation.
Yes.
But I would think that both of you would need to agree to take the break.
To take the break.
And then that way it's not stonewalling.
Okay, so if I can say, you know what, I am done with this conversation and I am going to take a break now.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk away because I'm just giving myself the 15 minutes time out. Does that mean I'm stonewalling? Because you haven't agreed to it.
don't know. It gets, that's tricky.
And
it's really, really tough.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
But these are some of the challenges that we all live with.
Because we can say, okay, hey.
Or a lot of us do anyway.
The thing is, for it not to be stonewalling, we have to be on, we have to agree that, hey, it's time to take time out.
Yeah.
But when things are crazy, some couples, most couples might not even be able to get to a point to say, now we need to take time out.
So yeah, when it escalates, it's really, you get past that point of taking a break, and you can't take back some of the things that you said. And so it just,
or maybe
I think, yeah, taking a time out is a really good suggestion.
So you might take a time out, and what if your spouse doesn't want to take a time out? Maybe somebody just takes a time out and
the other one keeps talking. I don't know. All I can say is that does not sound like a fun situation to be in.
No, it doesn't.
So there are steps you can take to prevent it from escalating that far. And I don't really think there's an overnight fix. It's probably a habit that you would need to get into over time of developing those, I don't want to say skills, but really just the habit of saying, okay, we're at that point again. Let's go ahead and take a break from this conversation, and before it goes any further,
before we do any more damage, yes,
let's just hold off and then come back when our blood pressure goes back to normal.
Yes.
So that's...
And sometimes I think we have to have that maturity to know that, hey, it's time to take a break.
Absolutely.
That, I think, has to be planned before you get into the argument. Because if you are planning to decide these things when you are in the argument, I think sometimes that might be too late.
Yeah. So for sure, if you can develop a habit of just knowing, okay, we as a couple, we really don't want things to go too far.
Yes.
So we are just going to have this agreement ahead of time, no matter what, no matter what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to try to prevent. So I think prevention is the best medicine.
Try to prevent. And there was somebody, I think I read this somewhere, that actually some couples, what they do is they have a keyword or a key phrase that if they get to a point that the argument is getting really, really crazy and somebody says that word, or that should be a reason to stop, pause, or just, they can also use it as a way to start doing the repair attempts. So just come up with a phrase before.
So it's like a safe word.
Yes. There you go.
So then the person who says the safe word knows, or the other person knows that's a code for, okay, hey, I'm getting really uncomfortable here. Can we pause
and then take it from there.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It might not be it might not be your idea, that you might think, okay, these things are, everything is still going well, but your partner might be like, and they use the safe word, and then you actually know that it's time to time out.
Sure.
Time out.
And a lot of this probably sounds easier said than done.
Yes.
And
so it's easier said than done. Yeah. And that's why some of these things you have to start planning, like accepting that every marriage has a chance to be awesome. That's the one thing. But at the same time, knowing that there will always going to be issues.
Right.
You are not going for that. Everything is perfect. You are going for a situation that even if you are having issues or problems, you are becoming big enough or becoming more mature that you can actually deal with it. And I can give an analogy of a child and a grown-up. There are some things which a child, a 10-year-old, might think is the hardest things ever, maybe to use a can opener to open a can.
Mm-hmm.
A 5-year-old or 6-year-old might think that's the hardest thing to do. it's a biggest problem. But for maybe a 20-year-old, it's not as hard. So the analogy is, if you can grow in your relationship into a point where some of these issues might not be as daunting as they were when you guys started, knowing each other and having your relationship. So that takes a lot of time to invest in your marriage and have that, you having that goal of we will get better. Mm-hmm. So we are getting better. It's not that we are not having any problems. We are just getting to a point that we can actually deal with them easily. And we can even avoid them before they show up. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think that's, yeah, I like that because you just introduced the idea of growth.
Mm-hmm.
You reach a point where you feel like you can handle it.
Yes.
Because I know for sure there have been times in our marriage where we could not handle it. Things would just blow up.
Things would just blow up, yeah.
And we definitely were not at the level of, okay, I think it's time for a timeout.
And...
But now we're getting better, though. Yes. So I think it's, I mean, as we mentioned earlier, I think definitely it is a habit that you just kind of
develop.
You develop over time.
Yes.
And you're able to sort of stay on a path towards peace. And the huge blowouts happen less and less.
Yes, the huge blowouts happen less and less. And sometimes even just having that commitment... that I go back to that because to me that is actually the beginning of most of the problems when you don't have that commitment, because without that commitment you bring something which I really hate, which is doubt.
Yes,
and we've talked about this in the Live Your Best Marriage podcast, that doubt, some of the synonyms for the word doubt is uncertainty and lack of conviction. So you just don't know 100% that this is the person that you will be with for the rest of your life. So you don't want to invest 100% into the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think some of the ways that we can move towards this habit of... not letting things escalate to the point where we become bitter or we hold a grudge or we retaliate is to just try as much as possible to keep in mind that when I'm 90
okay.
or 95 or 100, whatever, and I look back on the life that I lived,
yes,
what do I want to see?
You want to see that you had a great life. Like you don't have regrets.
Right.
Yes.
No regrets. And so part of that means I actually didn't fight constantly with my husband.
Yes.
And this is something that I had to realize myself. Mm-hmm. I had to come to terms with myself. I finally just realized, okay, I would really rather know that I lived a story worth telling.
Yes.
And not just this really, just
this crazy,
just a life full of anger and bitterness
and resentment and all that. Yeah.
Because it's so easy for resentment to start taking over.
Yes.
Marriage, especially.
Especially when you feel like you have been wronged.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So. That's the point I reached. I was just finally like, okay, I don't always have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always have to get my way. And I'll actually be more free if I let things go. I won't have to stay handcuffed to something mean that someone said or that someone did.
Yeah.
Honestly, it makes it easier. There's actually freedom in forgiveness. And so it just seemed counterintuitive to me at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I realized that the more I stay resentful and upset,
yes,
it just creates this sort of bondage,
you know,
that keeps me there.
That's so true. And actually, I was checking up the definition for the word forgive. And one of the things that they say, it's one of the definition, is to cancel a debt. So that person does not owe you anymore. So before forgiveness, they owe you something. That's why you're holding a grudge, because they actually owe you something.
Right.
And when you say, I forgive them, you are basically canceling the debt. You are saying, you don't owe me, so I can be free to proceed. But at the same time, there's a difference between forgiving, which is canceling a debt, and bringing that person back into a position of trust.
Right.
So, and what we are advocating here is canceling the debt, saying, like, you know, we need to move on. We don't need to stay stuck in the situation where we were just focused on fighting. But at the same time, work towards bringing your spouse back into the place of trust so you can start trusting them again.
Absolutely. So, folks, just as a recap, we are here for your encouragement. And also, we just hope that we can be of some inspiration to you in any way possible, with whether it's stories we bring or just tips. And we want to let you know that even if you feel as though your marriage is dead, it is totally possible to bring it back to life, be happy, be madly in love again. And the interesting thing is, it might not even be dead to begin with. You might just get stuck in everyday life.
What do you mean dead?
But just some people just feel like, and I know I've felt this myself too, it just has reached the point of, there's nothing I can do. There's just, this is the point of walking away. But
if you're, okay.
But honestly, it's usually just everyday life has taken over.
Yes.
The distractions, and as we've been talking for the last 20 minutes, bitterness.
Yes.
And anger.
Lack of commitment.
And yeah, sometimes.
Like you have increased doubt. Like, is this going to work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a lack of commitment.
Yes.
But once you make that decision to love, we're honestly here for your encouragement. We've been through it. We know what it's like. And sometimes it's nice just to hear it from somebody who's been there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Again, thanks so much for watching, and we'll be back in a few days.
Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast feed. And again, don't forget to subscribe. And until next time, bye and God bless.
Thank you. Are you tired of being upset, lonely, feeling empty, or just plain frustrated with your marriage? And no matter how hard you try, you're not getting anywhere, just going in circles? No matter how much you try to make time for one another in your schedule, or how many times you say, I'm sorry, Pesa and I have put together 99 ideas to help you connect with that one special person so that things can start to be more like the way they were before everyday life got in the way and caused the two of you to drift apart. We want you to have 99 ways to show love to your spouse absolutely free. You can find it at 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. Because here at Live Your Best Marriage, we truly hope that the two of you can move closer together and enjoy the connection that comes from achieving a stronger bond. Again, that's 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. That's the number 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com.